Blog Talk Radio.
Beginnings is not just for the young. I'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministries, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. For those of you that are tuning in by internet, we are a Bible, interactive Bible study. And if you'd like to call in and participate, the call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054 if you would like to call in and participate. When you do call in, hit the number 1 and we will put you on so that we can hear whatever your comments or what the Lord wants you to share with those that are tuning in. We are going to have prayer, and then after we have prayer, then we're going to go through scripture. And again, we do open it up for you to, if you have a comment, we do like to interact with you. Amen? Again, we are here to encourage, to lift each other up. That is the whole purpose of this. And again, we do thank you. Father, we come before your throne of grace. We thank you for your goodness, your glory, and your mercy. Father, we thank you, Heavenly Father, that no matter where we are, that you're always with us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides and directs us every day, every minute. Father, we ask, Heavenly Father, that as we communicate through this message this evening, Heavenly Father, that you would be in the midst, that we would all be on one accord. And Father, we just thank you, Heavenly Father, that knowing that we could be inside a building or even inside a building or even inside a vehicle, and we can still have the presence of the Holy Spirit. So we do thank you for that presence in the name of Jesus. We're going to open it up now, and we're going to have scripture, and then we're going to move forward as the Lord says so. Amen?
Amen. Today we're talking about fear, praying, or not asking, praying. As we begin to study the season, and my husband and I are traveling, actually, literally traveling right now, on the radio, and on the radio in the car, praying for modern technology, for the computer, for a cell phone, and for all of the other things, we're coming from statistics and science, and I will begin at 19 months, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain signs, he said unto them, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost that ye received?" And they said unto him, "We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said unto them, "Unto what then were ye baptized?" And they said, "Unto John's baptism." Then said Paul, "John verily baptized the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hand upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and ceased not, but spake evil of that way for the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God brought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto thick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Son. Praise the Lord. I wanted to say about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit's presence with us today. And we should have the same expectation and walk in the same power that Paul walked in. The miracles that Jesus did, he asked the disciples not to leave, not to depart, and the Holy Spirit fell on the book of Acts. And once the Holy Spirit fell on them, then they were to act. And the evidence of the Holy Spirit being on them was speaking in tongues and prophesying. And so when it came upon them and they at the disciples first, same thing. They went out to do what Jesus had done. They had seen Jesus heal sick, lay hands on the sick and heal them. In very peculiar ways, and with against what Pharisees and Sadducees said, or the rules of the day, the laws of the day, but yet still they did the thing. So we are to have those same, walk in that same power. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, is with us and should be within us today. But we can walk in the same power that Jesus' disciples walked in. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And the thing with that is that what Paul was basically talking about during that time, or what he was sharing during that time, was that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. And what Paul was saying at that time is that we all have the Holy Spirit within us, but it has to be activated. How was it activated? Paul was activating them and reminding them or letting them know who they were in Christ, that they had the ability through the Holy Spirit to do miraculous things. But they did not believe at that time. Because during when they walked the earth on that during that time, you had non-believers. You had those with a diverse heart. A diverse heart is someone who with an unbelief, a hardened heart. And when you have a hardened heart and you don't believe, then the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. Why? Because you are separating yourself from God. God says that either you are for me or you are against me. So we have to believe. That's why when you come and you confess, when you become transformed through the Holy Spirit, you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart. So you have to activate that by confessing and believing and saying that you believe. Now, keep in mind, man looks on the outside, but God looks at our heart.
Amen. So when we receive Christ, like here in Acts 19, they said that they were baptized, the way that John the Baptist was baptized, and was baptized now. And then Paul baptized and baptized the name of Jesus. And then the second baptism, if your first baptism is for baptism and it's a repentance thing, I repent, I want to be part of the second baptism, Spirit that Jesus talks about is to be baptized by the Holy Spirit, and that's what he asks the Spirit in the well with him to be part of God's person that he's never part of. He's with us, that he will always be with us. Well, how do we mean that if we say that? And sometimes we say that we have a fear of peace. as if Jesus walking. And we have even the, it just came to mind, the footprints of poem and pictures that we see a lot of people carrying a person across sandy beach. But it's not just about us, around us, walking side by side with us. It's the thing that wants to be in us, wants to be in us. When someone is that intimate, that close, it's part of us.
That's
the person of the Holy Spirit. He is our comforter. He reminds us that he's with us, that we're not alone. He speaks to us. And to, some of us get the message gift, and the way that we hear and open are open the things of the Spirit of God is again by praying, by listening, having quiet time, sensual with the Lord, but knowing his character, what the character of God. Sometimes you may say, I've been praying for such and such, but I haven't received an answer. If you know the character of God, you know the answer. You may know the answer. Maybe you don't need to hear an audible voice or a sign or a dream or a confirmation. That's where it says that was prophesied. Speaking tongues that was prophesied. Maybe you don't need the prophecy. Sometimes the prophecy is a word of direction and guidance, but sometimes it's also confirmation. And there are times when we won't get a word of prophecy. As we begin to develop our relationship with the Lord, he'll speak to us and wait for us to act. And in obedience, we're supposed to act as he says or respond in this way. Respond in the way that he's ready to respond. But the only way you do that is through relationship and through practice. John and I have been married for 16 years. And there's some things that he doesn't have to say that I know. By the way that he responded. I'm going to give you an example, and he doesn't even know that I was going to say this. The other week, something was going on, and I wanted to go and see my grandson's game. So I said, John, do you mind if I leave you? I think this might be his last game. If I leave and I go to so-and-so. He looked at me and he says, okay, well, go ahead. Are you listening? Yeah, he said, go ahead. And, of course, I could have gone on and gone ahead. In fact, that's what I did. But in the back of my mind, I knew that he wasn't just saying that, but he probably really didn't want me to go. Well, it turns out that the Lord had me turn around and go back anyway. Go back home. I don't know if he was happy that I came back or not. But I know him, and by the way he responded, it made me feel that maybe he really needed me to be there with that time. So I think that when you know someone, that the more that you know someone, before you can you know their habits, you know their temperament, you know their character, again, their personality. So we come to know the personality of the Holy Spirit, and I say personality because the personality of the Holy Spirit is not an it, but the person of Christ, the person of God, the person, one of the three in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit has personality, and then we come to know. I believe that 15, 20 years ago, if John had said that, it wouldn't have said anything, but I've come to know him more, that I understand the way he carries himself, the way that he's done. And he would probably say the same thing about me, that knowing me for so many years and being married for 15 of those years, that he knows me and he pretty much knows what I like. If I were to ask him, like, what my favorite fragrance is, I expect to be able to answer that, because he knows that way. And it's the same with us in our relationship with the Lord. With the Holy Spirit, we should know or have a feeling. And the way that we come to that is by prayer and spending time with the Spirit. So how do you spend time with the Holy Spirit? How do we get closer? I know that when I think of like my grandmother, I know I tell a lot of stories from him, but that's how I communicated. It was terrible. Was that my grandmother would say, Nana, are you going to just sew it? So she says, I don't know, I have to pray about it. Or, Lord willing, that was always her response. Like, you have to pray about everything. And now that I am a grandmother and I'm older and I'm, you know, hesitant to time with the Lord, I understand why she said that. That she would pray about it and she'd wait to hear from the Lord on whether she should do so, whether she should buy such things, whether she should travel, you know, or what she should do. So the way that you learn to communicate, the way that you learn the communication style and develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit and each and every relationship may be different is by communicating with the Holy Spirit, praying about it. So to pray about it and to ask, even ask the Holy Spirit for of Him. My prayer has been, especially for me, I'll say within the last year or so, is that I want to understand fully. I want to understand better and not second-guess myself so much. So that means I need to spend more time with the Holy Spirit. I remember there was an occasion when at church, the Lord had put something on my heart, like a word to give. And our church is not very, very large, but, you know, it's a sizable congregation. And my natural personality is when I'm very shy and reserved and not very confident speaking in front of crowds. So I didn't want to go up and so I'm thinking, Lord, is this you, you know, or am I just like inventing or am I just thinking this? Is this you, Lord? Is it you, Lord? It's like I can't do it. Lord, is it you? Like, please give me a confirmation. Well, shortly after, somebody else got up and said the same thing that the Lord had asked me to say, that they had made for me to share. I missed an opportunity, to bless someone or to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, and actually even blessing myself of knowing that that was God. So I'm praying that if an occasion like that arises again in that type of situation, that I would have the Holy Ghost boldness to stand up and say what needs to be said when it needs to be said. There have been other occasions where I've gotten to speak words to people, but in smaller, more intimate.
Yeah, you know, and I just want to pick it back off of that in terms of knowing Christ, having a personal relationship. And not only is just praying, and one of the things that I think that many of us fall short on is reading His Word on a daily basis. Because when I see, when I think about it in terms of communication, that means that both parties are talking to each other. One is listening and one is talking, and one is talking, one is listening. So when we are praying to God, we're talking to God. And when we are reading the Word of God, then we are listening to God. So God is speaking to us. So we need that relationship in terms of being able to read the Word. In order to know the character of anyone, you have to be able to communicate. You have to be able to talk. You'll have to be able to spend time. So, you know, I just wanted to, you know, kind of piggyback off of that. It's very important to read the Word of God.
And to listen. Because if you're talking completely, you know, all the time, praying, and then you jump up and heaven to hear what God has to say to your spirit, you know, to your heart, then you interrupt the conversation. You want to be careful that you read, that you wait, that you pause, that you spend time. It's good thing to write. I haven't seen as much writing as I once did, but to write, like the word expressing on you, what they took the act of prayer or act of your prayer or act of praise, Worship time is so very important. That ushers in the most in your time for worship. So enjoy worship. Praise God. For those of us that aren't gifted singers, still have a voice. Praise and worship is there. So again, with Acts 19 in the Living Bible, it says, while Apollos was friend, Paul traveled to Turkey and arrived at Ephesus, where he found several disciples. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you he asked them? No, they replied, we don't know what you mean. What is the Holy Spirit? See, everyone doesn't receive the Holy Spirit. A lot of us say, people say that they receive, but not everyone has received the Holy Spirit. We can ask for the Holy Spirit, just praying for the Holy Spirit to come and asking for the Holy Spirit, and you can have the Holy Spirit. God's word says, ask. Then what belief did you acknowledge at your baptism? Yes. And they replied, but John the Baptist taught. And when Paul pointed out to them that John's baptism was to demonstrate a desire to turn from sin to God, and that those receiving his baptism must then go on to believe in Jesus, what John said would come later. As soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul laid his hands on their heads, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other languages and prophesied. The men involved were about 12 in number. Then Paul went to the synagogue and preached boldly each Sabbath day for 3 months, telling what he believed and why, and persuading many to believe in Jesus. But some rejected his message and publicly spoke against Christ. So he left, refusing to preach to them again. Pulling out believers, he began a separate meeting at the lecture hall of Tyrannus and preached there daily. This went on for the next year. So that everyone in the Turkish province of Asia Minor, both Jews and Greeks, heard the Lord's message. Word was being spread by Paul. Praise God. And now we have to remember what Paul was. He was received. And imagine someone has led such a life of complete contrast to this. Now preaching word and being on Jesus. And then not for on the behalf of those Christian believers. And then not arguing with the people in the synagogue, but choosing to lead and taking the believers with them. That's boldness. And God gave Paul the power to do unusual miracles so that even when his handkerchief or parts of his clothing were placed upon sick people, they were healed, and any demons in them came out. So it's just that the anointing was so strong that even those things about him were anointed. And that's how we're supposed to travel. We're supposed to have such faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to have work under such power, under the Holy Spirit, that we can lay hands on the sick and they be healed. That we can cast out demons. That we are to prophesy. That we are to see and speak words of prophecy and words of knowledge. Just an overseer. Praise God. We're supposed to say things. You have to have the Spirit. So my question to you is, as my husband says, do you have the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit indwelling in you? Have you prayed and asked the Lord to come into you? It's not enough. It's not enough to just sin. It's not enough to say that I believe in Jesus Christ. You know what? There are people of other faiths that say they believe in Jesus. They believe in Jesus Christ. They believe that he was the man of God. They believe in Christ. They believe that he's the great teacher. But they believe that he was Christ. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ can live within you, in your spirit, and dwell in you? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Came to set us free. Do you believe that he sacrificed his life for us? For you.
Amen. Amen. I want to, also mention, as we are talking about in terms of receiving, there's an acronym that I think of, and it's called VIM. V-I-M. V is the vision. The vision of knowing that there is a God. Knowing that there is a God. We talk about kingdom in heaven, but God wants us a part of the kingdom here. He wants us a part of the Christian family here. And that comes by having the vision of knowing that God is real. Knowing that God is real. Having the vision of knowing that God is real. That I is the intent. Intentionally wanting to be a part of the kingdom. Intentionally wanting to be a part of the kingdom. Now, if the intent is not there, if you have no intention of what you say, then it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But if your heart, if you intend on receiving Christ, and you have the vision of knowing that Christ is real, the M is the means. God will provide the means for that to happen. So, that acronym I like to center around of knowing that there is a vision of knowing that there is a kingdom and there is a God. The I is the intent, the intent of wanting to be a part of the kingdom, and the M is the me. And once all three of those come together, then there is a transformation, a spiritual transformation that takes place within us. That spiritual transformation is allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us. Amen? Activating the Holy Spirit. God wants each and every one of us. God wants us. He loves us so much that he will stand. He stands for our nonsense. He's loving. He loves us enough that even though that we mess up, he still loves us. God still loves us. But God wants us to have our hearts for him. He wants our heart for him. He wants to have a heart for him. If you have a heart for him, God, that's what God looks at. We can say a whole lot of things out of our mouth, but if our heart is not right, God is able to see that. He is an omniscient God. Omnipotent, he is strong, and omniscient is that he is everywhere. God knows us wherever we are. What we're thinking, God knows. God knew us even before we were even born. Can you imagine that? God knew you even before you came into this world. And he has a purpose for each and every one of us. Amen?
Amen, amen. I'm going to go back and read 19:11 again. And God gave Paul, and just remember what my husband said about BIM. And God gave Paul the power to do unusual miracles so that even when his fingers did, or parts of his clothing were placed upon sick people, they were healed. And any demons within them came out. A team of itinerant Jews were traveling from town to town, casting out demons, planned to experiment by using the name of the Lord Jesus. The incantation they decided on this: I adjure you to, by Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Seven sons of Tzvika, a Jewish priest, were possessed by a demon. The demon replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? And he leaped on them, on two of them, and beat them up so that they fled out of his house naked and badly injured. The story of what happened spread quickly all through Ephesus to Jews and Greeks alike, and a solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many of the believers who had been practicing black magic confessed their deeds and brought their incantations of charm and burned them at a public bonfire. Someone estimated the value of the books at $10,000. This indicates how deeply the whole area was stirred by God's message. Afterwards, Paul felt impelled by the Holy Spirit to go across to Greece before returning to Jerusalem. Okay, I want to say this, that you can't fake it. You can't fake it. The demons don't, like the word said here, Jesus they knew, Paul they knew, but they didn't know these people, because these people wanted to use the name of Jesus, but did not have Jesus in their heart, did not know Jesus, didn't know the word, weren't operating in under the direction of the Holy Spirit, got beat up because they were not of God. There's a difference. You can't fake it. You can't pretend to be holy or holy on Sunday, but hellish every other day of the week. Operating in the things of the world and of faith during the week, but carrying your Bible on Sunday. Playing numbers and reading tarot cards and astronomy and the horoscopes every other day of the week, or even on, you know, pretending, and but carrying your book on Sunday, your Bible on Sunday, as just another book. You have to have the Lord in your heart. And when you have the Lord in your heart, the Holy Spirit in your heart, there's a place for Father God in your heart. That you can't, you're uncomfortable with those things at the bottom. So it feels uncomfortable to watch things that are not of God on television. It feels uncomfortable to be with people for a place that you shouldn't be, the Holy Spirit with them. Get a feeling, a stirring, that maybe you shouldn't be reading the horoscope or the things fail or a fortune teller. Maybe I should go into that place and allow that person to touch me and so-called pray over me, because maybe they're not holy. Spirit of God will speak to you in your spirit and let you know whether you should be there or not, what you should say. There's a difference. Well, sometimes people say that, well, I can't come to God yet because I don't have my life right. I can't give my life to Christ yet. But I'm still cussed, I'm still drink, I'm still smoke, or whatever it may be. I don't want to, you know, so-and-so, I don't have the right clothes. Whatever it may be, my lifestyle may not be right. One of the wonderful things about Jesus Christ is that those people that he ministered to, he went to the uttermost. That he didn't want to, he didn't come to minister. Pharisees, Sadducees, who's a Bible scholar, those leading the church, the church leaders, the synagogues, running things. He came to those people that were being left out, those marginalized, those people who had sin in their life, those people were living a life where it wasn't going anywhere. Those people sick, physically, spiritually, mentally. He came for those people that were financially sick, those people that were barren. Those are the ones that came to this. So he wants you just as far. He came to feed the people. He came to clothe the people that were sick and heal the people that were sick. That's King. And he didn't say that, you know, come and talk to me or come visit me once you're sick. He didn't say you can't come talk to me because you're sick or because you're lame. Because you're, you know, you're not smart enough, not tall enough like he is, or you're not rich enough. You're not, you know, you don't have it going on. You have nothing to bring. You don't have your tithe, a large enough tithe or offering, you know, so I won't spend time with you. I'm only here to minister to those big spenders. He didn't say that. He wants broken. He wants everyone that needs him to marginalize the hurt. The hurt. The burden. Those that are burdened. You come to him. You invite him in your heart. And things begin to change. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling. That's your heart. That's the Spirit of God. That's not just in the things that makes the change. And the change comes because you no longer desire to stay comfortable. And I want to promise you that you'll come to that point. You'll no longer desire. Well, there have been people that have been on drugs, just quit cold turkey because they had accepted Jesus Christ. This is my testimony, the testimonies that I've heard, that the transition was seamless because of Christ, that the taste taken out of their mouth because of Christ. You may be in a 12-step program. You may be in a program where you refer to the Lord as the Lord or your higher power. I implore you to use the name of Jesus Christ as you pray, as you prayer in your 12-step program, and use the name of Jesus Christ rather than Holy, the higher power. Speak to the Holy Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit of the program and I promise you the change still comes. You don't have to be perfect to come to Christ. You don't have to be perfect. He's not looking for perfection. But he has promised you progress. He has promised you progress. So I ask you today that as you pray, that you sit with us, that you spend with us, go back and experience this word. And I pray that it spoke to someone day or archive that you go back to word about the Holy Spirit. There's no way it don't be exhausted, but I believe that it's necessary to come. It's not these things for me to hear. It's be nice to myself. Then that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit invites you. Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. And again, we do thank you for tuning in and, you know, by internet or even calling in and just sharing what God has laid on your heart. It's amazing how God uses each and every one of us. How God uses each and every one of us. We were originally planning on using one of the speakers from the state, from out of state, and running an archive for that. But God spoke to us and said that we need to come on and to share. Even though that we are driving, even though that, you know, we're not sitting at our round table and discussing and having, you know, preparations and all of that, God will allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to be able to guide us wherever we are. And I'm not only speaking to us, but I'm also speaking to you. I'm also speaking to you. And that's why the topic of the Holy Spirit was presented. Because the Holy Spirit, when God looks at you, when God looks at me, he doesn't see the person, but God sees the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is his Son, Jesus Christ. His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and for me. And Jesus Christ said, I'm leaving, but I'm going to leave you a comforter. That comforter is the Holy Spirit that each and every one of us have within us. The Holy Spirit to feed and guide and direct us. And that's why it's important that we stay in touch with the Word. And it's only through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what communicates to God. It's not us. It's the Holy Spirit that's within us that communicates to God. Amen? It's the Holy Spirit within us that communicates to God. See, because if God looked at us in our state that we are, we're unclean. We're unclean. We're not right before God. But when he looked at what his Son did for you and for me, God, that redemption that was made for you and me, God sees his Son within us. He sees the Holy Spirit within us. And God loves us just where we are. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we've done, no matter where we are at this time, God loves us just as we are. And let me tell you something. God can perform a great work within you and within me. So that's why it's critical that we study the Word, read the Word, even if it's not nothing but a scripture. But write down what that scripture means to you, and then look 2 weeks later and see if that scripture means the same thing. Pray about it first, but then write that scripture down, what it means to you. And that's how you begin to start journaling, and you can see yourself growing spiritually. Some of you are already there. Some of you have fallen short. And some of you have not started at all, but have that feeling that something is missing. And if you have a feeling that something is missing, that something that's missing is Jesus Christ. Amen? God bless you. Thank you. Remember, we love you, but God loves you. Until next week.
I can begin.